Thank you, sir. Good to have you here tonight, Brother Don Robertson, who has lately come to be a part of this work, and he's praised highly in Mexico as well as by the missionary workers, Les Ferguson, who is now retired from that particular work, and John Pig as well, for being a natural working with the Mexican people. Thank you, Brother Don, for coming over tonight and sharing the update of this information with us. If you come now, please start there.
All right. Well, let me back up and tell you part of how we got here deal. A number of years ago, about 8 years ago now, John Wayne Purdy comes to me and he says, Don, have you ever thought about going to Mexico? Have you ever thought about doing any kind of mission work? And up to that moment, absolutely not. that had not been a part of my repertoire as a preacher. Had no interest in it, really. I've always had a love for the souls of men, and I worked well in Collinville and around that area, and then serving as a deacon here in Ashland and trying to get the church to grow. And so, Les, I was at MBC when Brother Mar and I, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, had young dad had discovered that there was not a church in the city of San Miguel Allende. And so I was familiar secondhand, because Les was one of my teachers and my mentors and everything, and he was down there trying to get this work started. So I've actually been involved with this work from its very inception. I've never had the honor nor the privilege to ever meet Brother Mar and I. Great man, as far as every record account, gentle giant, a giant among the faith. He should be listed in the Bible like one of those men there as well. But having that said, I've met Sister Nelma since that time, and wonderful, wonderful lady. I'll say this, when we were there this last trip, she asked us to comprise a letter, get a complete listing of all the preachers in the work and their families and their location, and she says, I will be praying for them every day by name. And so she, you know, she says, I just, you know, we'll keep her list updated. This is the state of Guanajuato in the state of Mexico. As you can see on the back of my shirt, this is about middle of the state, the whole country of Mexico. But this is the city of where we live when we're there. We fly into Leon here, and you wouldn't think it, but from that place to this place, it's just like that. It's up hills, down hills. The climate's wonderful. We love it. It doesn't get hot. It's some there today in July. It'll get pretty warm, but by and large, it's cool because it's high enough up in the mountain range. But it's wonderful because you're not going to be coming back to this slide. We have a congregation here in San Luis de La Paz. We have a congregation in Dolores Hidalgo. We have one now, just been established in Slough, since I've been there. Since we left, we were doing the groundwork for this one. We have a church in Irapuato, have a branch congregation in Salamanca. We have another congregation in Michoacán, that we helped way back years and years ago. We have a congregation in Salvatierra, which means save the earth. One congregation here in Celaya. One congregation here in Cortazar. One here in Juventina Rosas. And just out of Juventina Rosas is a place called Villa Grande. Don't see we have a congregation in San Felipe all the way up there. But close to here, it's too small to get on the map. There's a city of Common Fort, and just outside of Common Fort is a little patch. You'll see it. We'll get there in just a moment, called San Pablo. And we'll go through these as tonight goes. But we've adapted and changed kind of our approach, and you're going to see that. I'll try to put that in its proper place. But in 2001, Martin and M.I., about members of the Church of Codesco, they go, they find there's 6 million people Guanajuato is a major, major city. It's elbow to elbow everywhere you look. Lots and lots of people. And as far as we know, there's only one Church of Christ in that great city. And that's La Ciel and Elsie. We'll see that in just a minute. They started doing research and found there was maybe a couple of other denominational churches there outside of a Catholic church. And we'll see some pictures and evidence of that in just a moment. But this, guys, pray every day. If you want to mention amen by prayer, by name, that family right there is the key. That is one godly man that is definitely no man's dummy. He was an outcast and a reprobate like me, who fell in love with an older woman, just like, I can't say that, not totally. But she was a Christian. And Fernando's his wife, Fernando had to get his act together. He was smitten. And so she led him to Christ. And he is a scholar in his own right. I promise you, he is extremely smart. That's their son, Stefan, and their daughter, Monty Fair. Upright, standing, good kids. They speak English. Tony speaks very little English. Fernando, almost none. Hey, brother. But that's John P. This is one of the elders at Lake Harbor Drive in Richland. And this is Brother Fernando and his wife. And basically, what we finally, the church has grown to the point, you know, Les has basically been doing a whole lot. And this is Fernando, was the very first person. I remember before he was even hired, when this was getting started, we were in class, and it was evangelism. It was a class we were taking, methods of evangelism. And so Les comes in there, and he was telling himself, they had gotten in touch with the Sunset School of Preaching in Toluca, which Mexico, which is just outside of Mexico City. Sunset had a branch school there way back, and that's what Les come through, Sunset, way back out in Texas. And so they had a complete Spanish-speaking school set up there, and he was a graduate. So Barnes and Ellis got him, and he's been in it from the start. And the work has grown so much. And instead of looking like it's the white American or the American people of the States, the they would call North America's grande gringos, the word for them. Instead of them running in their overpowering and that kind of stuff, we just basically support. And he makes sure that the work is carried out. He is instrumental. He's making sure they all have to go through the Bible Institute. We've got five of our preachers come through the Institute and were taught, and families out of their own congregations after they became Christians, taught and then led to Christ, basically, and then took the classes, got their degrees, and now are preaching. But they are doing what the other church did. Going from this spot, then go to the next spot. When the preacher, he's done his work here, this preacher will leave the elders in charge, and the leaders in charge, and now we're in the establishing and planning and appointing elders now. That's where we're at. And so it's taking some time to grow. But it's absolutely imperative that we keep them in place. We've changed, instead of just trying to go down and just plant churches, That's a real good method. And we work really well with the JC and Lowe. Y'all know 21st Global Mission. Y'all know JC and Lowe. Some of you do. JC, I was there on the inception of that when I was in Ashland back in the 80s. When I was a teenager in high school. To evangelize the state of Guanajuato, 6 million people, to plant the Lord's church in every major city we're trying for 25,000 people plus. To train preachers, teachers, and workers at Biblical Institute in San Miguel with satellite schools. He teaches Scott, basically. Fernando will be on the screen here, and they're teaching, and they'll have proctors. I mean, it's the only legit, it's only up and up. He's very adamant about being right. To develop self-supporting congregations that are scripturally organized. This is our goal and our plans. to maintain oversight and accountability with 2-3 annual visits from 2-3 weeks in duration. We spend, Lynn and I usually get about 11 days there. And when we go, that's out of our pocket. You know, we've always raised our own money. Your brothers, you guys, and others have helped support it and to help get us there. But we spend a good bit of money. We try not to spend anything on us. When we're there, we take monies and donations like this with us. And then we'll turn that into pesos. And when we get to a congregation, and let's say they need 8 or 10 tables or 10 or 12 chairs or whatever, then we help them with the pesos that they need to get those things to help the church to grow. And so it really works. Don't want to spend a lot of money going down 6 or 7 times a year now that we've got Fernando in place. He's really adamant about keeping everything going, and he's supposed to be here in July to come and meet, and everybody that support can go and meet his family. We finally got the visas. It's only took 4 years to get visas to get into the States. It's crazy, they walk across the border every day. But he tried to come in right, it takes him 4 years. To provide financial support for the GTO preachers. And what that does is we basically give us hired in or very little, very minimal salary. They rent the building, the preacher, when we plan on a new city, they go rent the building. They supply all the amenities, everything is there. And this money is because we're putting them in a place where there's no Christians. I mean, you see what I'm saying? So they take their family and they go. When we give them, they're not making a lot of money, but they'll live. They know how to, they're frugal. They're very frugal. To conduct 2 annual evangelistic campaigns using GTO preachers. Instead of us going down and doing medical campaigns and spend a lot of American money going and being down there, and look, let's pool our money. How much would it cost to take our 12 or 13 preachers, put them in that city, because they know the people, that's their language, and they'll be more receptive. We'll put them in a hotel room, whatever we got to do, buy all the food and all the literature, and let them evangelize their own people. And so that's really working well. We like that. That's been good. And this has all come in the last couple of years. I mean, since I've got to see you guys last, we were in Mexico, and Les said, look, we got to make a change. I've got to retire. Margie's health has faded really to the point I need to work. And he said, Don, or he called me Big Don. I said, Big Don, are y'all where y'all can handle it? I said, you know that we're not. The church, we're having to overcome a lot of action and regroup. And so John P. fell into place perfectly. And so he's retired, got his own money, but he's not, the Mexico Missions does not pay him one dime. He does not ask for a dime. Now, they pay all of his travel expenses, but it's he got his own motor home, and he can drive it, and he stayed with us 2 or 3 times already, coming to stay in with Sister Beth, and you know, whatever we needed to do. But the church is now, San Miguel, got about 120 in attendance there. And there's the church at San Luis de la Plaza was planted out of that one. San Felipe was planted out of that one. Common Fort was planted out of that one. San Pablo was planted out of that. You see what happened? We started with one, and it's just been, we just boom, 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 boom. Who attended Rosas, Irapuato, Cortazar, Celaya, Salteria, Villa, Grant, Dolores Hidalgo, Montelongo, and Guanajuato. All of these are cities. You'll see the Irapuato, that work had gotten started, and one of the preachers, he didn't like, we had a congregation going, and he, I guess he basically, he didn't like what was, he just had a difference of opinion on some things. Because what we require is a mission work, because we feel responsible and accountable. Keep us a record. Let us know how many Bible studies are going on, baptisms is going on. Give us some kind of accountability here so we can see what you're doing, so we get a feel. And he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that. Now, he's still working with Mexico Missions. I mean, he's there. We don't give him any money. We don't give him any money. They got a congregation. They were at the celebration with us. I love them to death. So When it says here, Puerto New, so what's happened out of that? Aurelio and Nelly Velamar, Velamour, we planted another church. So now we have two churches of Christ. You know, he sound biblically sound, so if I know it's biblically sound, I was at his graduation, the Bar 90 class of 2012 in Toluca, and we brought him out of there, and him and Angelica and his two children. A super good guy, he just didn't want to do that. But, and that was one of the things that we did at Kosciuszko, my Miami Bible College. Even as students, we had to do a report every week, everything we did. You know, that was, so that's new. All these guys work hard, and you'll see in just a moment, some of these are doing double duty. Alejandro and this Uda, he put Judy up here, but it's actually, we would say Judy, but it's Uda, is her name. They preach twice on Sunday. San Pablo, we'll see that in just a moment, congregation that they've started. Salau was one of our cities on our target to plant a church, and Renee has gone into there. That's where he's at now, and you'll see, I'll talk more about him in just a moment. All of these are other cities that have larger numbers that we want to plant churches in. And that's what we're, and as we, and what we do is anytime that we have had churches to come independent on their own money, and so we take that funds and we go put another preacher somewhere else. And so that's how this work is working. New policies and plans. To transfer Lake Harbor Drive oversight to John Pig as director, and that's where we are. That's done. Appointment of Fernando as GTO director, that's done. We had to be very, very careful because we didn't want the Spanish brethren or the Latin American brethren to think that he was some kind of cardinal or bishop. You know, our padre, we got to avoid that at all costs, where they don't think that he's better than they, and what we do and what his job is making sure that everything is staying sound. Like Paul will tell Timothy, preach only the truth, stay firm, only deliver those things what I deliver. If someone comes teaching something different, you avoid them. Put to silence all wise fables and stuff. He's been appointed, and one of the things that it's a failsafe, I guess you would say, is to put him in there, and he goes, guys, everybody in here has worked at public work, and we've all had jobs where we're just doing our job, and sometimes you see the boss. You don't always see the boss, but you don't normally get a phone call and say, everybody straight up, here comes the boss, here comes the owner, do you? Well, we don't tell nobody Fernando's coming either. Fernando shows up, and it's an honorary thing if he visits Revilta, he preaches, but he goes and he wants to hear them. And that's part of the plan, is to hear them preach and to teach and make sure that they're committed to the truth and staying with it. Churches assume about 10% of the preacher's support on January 20th, 2019. We've already started cutting back the scale. They knew it. Some got a little more than 10% because of church was growing to the point that we could cut back more. But it's all a numbers game, guys. Y'all know that. It's a numbers game. But now we got to be frugal. We got to be watching it. We can make all the money in the world, but we can throw it all away, too. You know, so we're trying to utilize it real good. Preachers monthly reporting that spiritual numerical growth. I get a report once a month. Fernando sends a report. So John Pig sends me a report computer, and I get to see that. Commitment to mission GTO in Mexico. We're trying to get more congregations to commit to a particular congregation there. You know, if you'll know that your money is going to this congregation, and would you do this amount? So that we can say, yes, instead of just at random, whatever, it's going to make it a little easier for everybody. Organize local churches with elders and deacons, and that's where we're at. We had one run trying to appoint elders, and there was some just not knowing. They just didn't know. The procedure that Fernando followed in order to appoint elders is not one of the ways that we would do it here in America. They were doing more of looking at guys unanimous. And with several visits this last trip in October, we said, Fernando, I love you, but that'll never work. You're not going to get 120 people to be 100%. No, that will. You need a consensus. They need to be able, if they can find something, have something, or reason for that man to not be appointed as an elder, then they need to make that known to the men that are the board, the guys that come together, and make it known to you. This is Fernando challenging preachers with Mission GTO Mexico, pointing out some cities there that what we've done is John had this map drawn up when I was there, when we was there in October, and he wanted blue and yellow was kind of the colors that they picked. Some of the major cities, the larger numbers that we're going to target in planting churches and reaching out to them. And they're there in San Miguel. This is the city of San Miguel. And if you'll see this big tall building here, that's called the parochia. And this is the Ardeen. This is the square of the city in front of the parochia. The parochia, these tips you're looking at, that's from off of one of the balconies looking down, but it's not all the way at the top. But that thing will be just full of thousands of people. And they're peaceful. We've not had any bad things happen. I've not seen one robbery, one fight. We've not seen any of those things. There are people that it's full of visitors, lots and lots of visitors. That's the parochia lit up at night. It is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. But now that's what those people's pesos have built. Is that stuff right there. But now here's the difference. Those brethren that see the truth, they'll be anywhere. And we're going to see some of that just on. This is one of the streets in the city. Water is a great big thing. You have to have water. That's a water truck. You don't drink the water. They don't drink the water. They don't drink the water either. In the city, this is way up on one of the mountains, looking down at parochia. Then that street, don't look at steep, does it? Dude's like it right there. Yeah, you get in a car, go to the top of the mountain up there to one of those restaurants or something, you come down, and there'd be elegant restaurants, and you'll pay less at one of those elegant restaurants than you will at McDonald's up here for a meal. And it'll be a buffet. Good food, really good food. You know, and it's just nice. You know, the tax ride, I'm just going to tell you, the tax ride sometimes comes about as much as the food. You know, which is not a lot, but on the side of these buildings, like this here, see those little things sticking out? You're very, very careful that early in the morning that you don't walk underneath those things. Because those people wash their floors and stuff at daylight, crack a dome. And that's water, and guess where it runs? Right out in the street. You'll have to get a douse. And if it's raining, it'll drain. The rooftops are flat, so it'll drain, so you gotta be careful. This is the market, and that thing is a mile long at least. And you just walk through it, and they've got every kind of fruit and vegetable that you could think of, every kind of toy you could think of, every kind of household needs you could think of, every kind of flowers I've never seen. We owned a floral business for 8 years, and they would have fresh flowers every day. Fresh flowers is a big thing in the Catholic way of thinking. This is the preachers and their families that have come together in San Miguel. The one in the lower right corner right there, that purple looking shirt on, that's Josue. He's preaching in a little place called Cortazar. We'll point them out, but we ain't got time to list all of them. There's John Pig and Les on the far left corner. And Rossiel, that is one of the older preachers that is there. And remember Eutychus? Remember Paul in the third loft? About midnight, Eutychus saw out the window? Well, that's the third floor. And it's open, and they've got it. We'll have a fellowship meal, because you don't go out here and build a building this way. If you do anything in Mexico, you've got to go up. Because space is limited. And if you got a spot They don't have a congregation this they're not building this big. They'll have a house, and it'll be jam-packed, shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow, sitting on the stairway, sitting outside the doors. It's different, guys. I tell you, they hunger and thirst for it down there.
I can see that they're holding on so they won't fall out the window.
They're taking a picture, but that's a prayer. That's what it's fixing to happen. It's fixing to be, you go around and you're holding hands, and that's to all the preachers, and you're holding hands, and you lifted up one another's hands, lifted and in prayers. They're very serious. They are very serious. This is the preachers and some of their extended family men that come. Basically, we're teaching a class off of 1 Chronicles chapter 11, 22 through 25. Be of Benaniah. Y'all remember Benaniah, who was noble and wise and killed a lion like David with his own bare hand in the snow. They trapped his lion, but they were teaching him to be strong and be courageous. Be noble first. Be noble first. Be strong, be courageous. Be about the Lord's business. And remember, David appointed him as one of his number one head leaders after he had killed that lion. There's the ladies, and those ladies take it very serious. They want to know the truth. There's a lot of education. Those ladies right there, every preacher's wife takes the course too. And yes, it usually makes a higher numbers. You ladies know, don't you? This is the auditorium for the San Miguel congregation. And it's stacked in here like that right there. And it'll be all the way on both sides. And they have a little communion table in the front, a little breakfast. To your left there, by that pole, is the kitchen. That was a house, is what it was. To your left, we set light shining in because all the doors are open and the windows open all the time. If you want any air, you're then such thing as air conditioner. And the bathrooms are outside the building, but there's a stairway to your left, and that stairway, I've seen it, that little foyer there, be stacked full. They can hear you quite well. They're here in 1 Timothy 6, 2 through 6, preaching and teaching the teachers, preachers about the pitfalls of ministry, compromise, controversy, conceit, conflict. And that was one of John's lessons that he's presented here in the States, even to the congregations he's preached at. And that's something we deal with even right here as a preacher. And here's the ladies in the class. You look at that painting on the wall there. Their classrooms, they hand paint. That's what they do. And of course, you know who that is, crossing on that dry ground. And every room, a house, something of that nature. Now, they are very good artists, really great. All the classrooms are going to have little injective molded tables. You see, it's kind of limited on space. It might have been somebody's bedroom at one time. Might have been a den or something, but they utilize every spot they got, and those kids love it. Okay, do you notice that's the same room that we just had services in? When we're having a meal, everybody grabs a chair, runs to the back wall with a chair, they break out the table, then you grab a chair and run back up to the table. That's a common practice. That's what you do. Oh, I got a few minutes. I don't know how much, but remember a while ago I said Servando was one that he didn't really agree with that keeping up. This is Servando. Excellent preacher, excellent worker. He just had a problem with, that's one of the requirements. And see, here's the deal. If you let one off, you have 10 minutes? I'll get you. Stop at 10 people? Okay. If you let one off, guys, you know what will happen. You can't do it. Much as you love, but if that people, y'all still recognize me as one? Yes, you're still my brother. But this is the requirement, and if you don't meet the requirement. This is Eloy Vesquez. Without him, life would be tough. He's the translator there, Christian. Got his education here in Chicago. And this is John teaching the plan of salvation. And that's Elodia. That is Eloy's mom. And she has a really nice place. And she rents us rooms. She moves out to the upstairs in a little spot in the ceiling and lets us have her house. And out back, they have a compound that she's got it rented. And right next door, me and Lynn had to stay out there one time. We had a whole group of us. It was like, what, 10 of us, 12 of us, 10 of us, so. And Lynn and I chose to out back. Next door neighbor had 22 of them brackets. Yeah, Mexican alarm clock. And I promise you, they don't shut up. You can't sleep. Tony and Fernando was here on the start. Five of our preachers and wives were converted to Christ, have graduated from Liberty Institute, are now serving other churches. Here's part of that congregation. That's actually a little spot called a clash. No, that's actually where we preach from when we're in San Miguel. This is the church of San Miguel outside. Remember we was holding hands, keeping falling off, sister? You see where it was at up there. Back up real quick. See to the right there, that tree, that bars over that door? There's a little store on every corner. You know how big stores, you know, people can't, they don't have, you know, they're walking. So there's just every little piece of a little store like it where you just got to have stuff. Here's another classroom sitting when the building is full. See those steps back there to the left I was talking about and all that being full? Another classroom sitting, those kids there. Had a baptism there. I've never been what we didn't have at least one, two, or three baptisms while we were there. They're always having baptisms. This is Rossell in the city of, and his wife is Elsie, in the city of Guanajuato. They're now meeting in the park. Trying to get the church started and planted there. This is Martin and Ruth and Sophia, and I don't know what the little young one's name is. You remember his name now? I don't remember. But this is in San Luis de la Paz. And remember I said we were trying to get money together to lay blocks? Well, they're meeting in their rooftop. They've got the land paid for, and you see how far they've gotten on the building. So as they get enough funds, they'll finally get that done. But that's going to be a major thoroughfare in the city before it's over. This is Renee and Cleo. Renee over there, he is excellent, excellent, excellent. He's a climb a trail. Wears a funny nose and all, but he can pull on your heartstrings like that right there. Renee has started out in Common Fort, left Common Fort. He had some issues, some problems, and he came back to San Miguel, and him and Cleo had to work through some things with the family and all that kind of stuff. You know, life's not always easy, but anyway, he is now been instrumental in planting three churches. We just put him in Celaya. So he is very, very instrumental in growing the churches. This is Aurelio and Nettie. They're now in the new congregation in El Plato. This is Jorge and Arisha. Most times people spell it with a G, G-E-O-R-G-E, but it's Jorge. That's a young couple. They don't have any children, haven't had any children. But they do a great job. This is Common Fort. Alejandro and Uda Oledi is their name, and that's their church. You see how simple it is. It's just an old house. John baptized one while he was there. The one in the center back is Alejandro, former drug dealer. See the guy right over on his right? That's his brother, former drug dealer. The guy on the right, give it all up. Found himself face down in a cell in Texas. They carried him back to the line and told him he'll never come back. He took him at the word and he didn't come back. You know why? Because he met a member of the body of Christ in the Texas jail, in the prison ministry. He became a Christian. And he had a wife and family. He became an elder in the church inside the prison. Sad, sad thing. He comes back to Mexico. Thank you. He speaks English. His name is Miguel. Wonderful, wonderful spirit. I've had several places to visit with him. He's a car auto mechanic and a good one. He has, since we've left, he went into another city over there and planted the congregation himself, independent. Because they were in drugs and all that stuff, these guys down here at the bottom, we had to speak in the drug rehab last time we was there. They worked really hard with them trying to. San Pablo, you see it? Walkway right there? That's the street. I preached in that city That's a community in those hills, San Pablo. That's how you get to the church. That's how you get there, period. You park the car way over yonder and you walk or ride a bicycle. Preached under a tree. People's underwear hanging on a line behind me. The washing machine right there, and the dog right there beside the washing machine listening to the preacher the whole time. See, folks different down there, ain't they? Those people want to hear the truth. That's San Pablo. And Alejandro and Miguel, that's where some of their family was from, They started a church under the tree just then. So they're evangelistic guys. This is Ishmael and Patty Galvin. He's a really dynamic speaker, growing the church. This is Uriel and Patty and Josue. He is a father, taught his son was going to be a design artist and ended up being a minister. And now they have two congregations there, Cortazar and Celaya. Here's John teaching a Bible class, and this is in Celaya. Notice in the background that's a ladder, that's in someone's yard, and they have an aluminum ladder stood up there with his board on it. You know, and that's basically, that's a water garden right there. Take the pot, they're having a baptism in, take the plants out, set them out of the side, baptize someone. Sergio and Ana Rosario, guys, evangelism works. Sharing the gospel works. You gotta want to share it though. This is a really great story. You're gonna love. Sergio was a chicken seller, pollo. That's what he was merchant of. He just processed chickens, you know, and done that. And he was a drunkard. And this little lady, one of the members at San Miguel. She'd go in there to buy chicken, and she was constantly trying to set up Bible studies, and she did. And she did, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. And they finally got enough of it one day, guys. And she said, they go to the 30-year-old and say, get this crazy woman out of here. She's trying to sell Jesus to us, you know, in whatever, you know, in her own language. You know, she's aggravating us to death. And so 30-year-old goes to put her out of the store, and she sets up a Bible study. Now he's an educated preacher. He came to San Miguel one Wednesday night. He was baptized. He obeyed the gospel that Wednesday night. He said he ain't never wanted another drink. He asked God to take it from him, and he did. Thank you. And he's a dynamic speaker. Little room there. You see that's four chairs wide, and there's enough room for one chair beside you. That building is as long as this building is this way, and it's not as wide as that, but that little whole sway is filled that building full of people, of Christians. See how that's just what it is. There's nothing to it. But he loves the truth, and he preaches it. This is Francisco and Gabi. Francisco has started his own water business. Preaches at that congregation and also Montalogo. You see how this simple a church is there, a congregation, a meeting place. They don't build it, they pay for it. They build it, they pay for it as they go. But those many of our preachers got full-time jobs, and some of them are preaching in two different congregations on any given Sunday. And so they work hard. And, you know, I don't know if I can be like Paul. I thank my God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Be confident of this, that he who began to work in you will carry it out and complete until the day of Christ Jesus. Guys, we're doing the same thing Paul did, just a long time afterwards. Any questions? Very quickly, we got about 2 minutes.
Do we give them courage and strength to resist the gangs and the situations around them from day to day by going down and teaching them and working with them as we do?
It is faith building, because we give up all the amenities that we have here, mm-hmm. and we're willing to invest our money to come down there. And those men take it serious. It encourages them. They will go out of their way. What they offer you to eat is not the most elaborate thing here that you'll ever eat down there to them. How many of you guys ever had goat?
Yeah.
You don't eat a lot of goat here, do you? Do you know that going down there to eat goat is like eating a steak from the finest steakhouse, come on, steakhouse around here? I mean, you know, goat is a delicacy to them. I mean, it's a rare thing. You know, they prepare meals, my wife will tell you, they prepare meals that they run the chicken by the pot. you might get a chicken trap. You kids back there, you kids ever, if y'all ever had a chicken feet, you ever eat mama did a fry chicken,
yeah,
you ever?
Hey,
you buy chicken feet on the street, that you eat it too, the hood with the claw. Yeah, it's different there.
You can buy it.
And you
buy
it at
Walmart right here.
Yeah, you buy a Walmart down there, and they're ready to eat on the street. And it's a neat deal. But yes, absolutely, Brother Robert. Everything we do here is an absolute encouragement to them. And they take it to heart to work harder. But the main thing is they know. They don't look at it as saying, you know, I'm going to get money for doing this. If I'm faithful and I work hard here, that means that there'll be more money spent that we can continue. We want to evangelize Guanajuato and ultimately Mexico. They have big pictures in their mind. They want to work hard so that we will get more people to get on board, to plant more congregations, to get the church. When you see the truth, when Catholicism is all you've ever known, or heathenism, and then when you see the truth, they eat it up.
That's a lot of congregations in 18 years.
Yes, sir.
That have been established.
Yeah, for the amount of money that's been spent in that, we spend way more than that here in the States for the same amount of people. I promise you, way more.
And it does not only encourage them for us to come there. It encourages us.
It makes me work harder when I get back. Going down there and seeing them sets me on fire. When I get back up here, I'm ready to beat them down.
Can I ask you one thing?
Yes.
I guess I missed something, but what is GTO?
GTO is the prefix for Guanajuato.
Okay.
Just like we would have MS in Mississippi, for Guanajuato is GTO.
Okay. I just kept saying it, but
Mexico, yeah, Guanajuato. If you just like a prefix for Mississippi or Arkansas, whatever, GTO is Guanajuato. So we just say that's our mission field, is that state first, and then hopefully the entire state of Mexico. Thank you.
Have we not heard some new things tonight that we hadn't heard about this work here before? And we're glad to be a part of, and glad to be a part of the work in prayer from day to day and time to time. It's mentioned directly in prayers that said this.
Yeah.
What is that? 198 is our song, and the invitation of the Lord is extended for this purpose. It's to change the lives of people when we obey the gospel. It's changed the lives of people here in America, from being drug dealers to being faithful Christians, from being those who did not care about their family and were drunkards to being sober people, to care for the Lord. And it changes our life. When we love the Lord like we should and do, then it will make a difference in the way that we walk, talk, and act here in wherever we are in the world. And to these people who've had just a history of just being told what to believe and told what to do and that sort of thing, then it's a matter where now then the privilege is for them to see what the Lord says, and that's important to their soul. And it's important when they leave this world, and they know that, they know we're going to die at the hands of somebody, or they know we're going to die from the standpoint of years to come and go, and from the diseases that they have down there, just to serve it. And they know that they're going to meet up with the Lord, and that's what they're thinking about in regard to the joy of this Christianity that now they come to know. What a blessing it is.